Excessive heat, floods, and stronger storms. The climate predictions for our region look bleak, but solutions are brewing, often driven by a desire to profit and altruism. WHYY's senior climate reporter Susan Phillips took a trip to Israel, the so-called startup nation, to find out what technology, driven by capitalism, can do to help us prepare for the future.
Climate solution startups bombard my inbox with the next best and greatest technology you could ever imagine. Everything from boxed water to the newest in battery storage to the latest attempts to make hydrogen fuel greener. I can't blame them. I guess there's a lot riding on these entrepreneurs' success. But I wonder, how can capitalism save us from climate change?
It seems to have been exacerbated by climate change. Today, we ask the big question.
Inside Jerusalem's International Convention Center in mid-February, climate startups packed the R Crowd Investor Summit.
Can they dream up, develop, and deploy?
Think of it like a Disney-esque TED Talk meets a job fair.
We ask the question, can startups help save the planet?
Dozens of Israeli tech startups set up booths, hoping to hook a venture capitalist or two.
You'll see drones that plant trees, plants that make fish, and milk without cows.
I spoke to the man behind this summit, John Medved, the CEO of R Crowd, an online crowdfunding site that links investors with startups.
What folks would say was capitalism got us into this mess in the first place.
I don't believe it for a second. I think capitalism has proven to be the only system that works, the system that has brought living standards up around the world, that while I'm not a, you know, rapacious robber baron capitalist, I'm a venture capitalist.
Like a lot of people worried about climate change, Medved says there's no time to waste. He thinks spending money on building new solar and wind farms is important.
Except the problem is that we need new technologies. We need to have breakthroughs. We need green hydrogen today, not in somewhere in the distant future. We need it now.
And Medved scoffed at the suggestion that governments could play an important role.
But I don't see another way. Okay, I don't want a big government or a bureaucrat making decisions about which solution or which technology, because that leads to corruption and bad decision making.
People like Medved are called impact investors. Their definition of profit includes doing good for the world.
My focus is on companies that have a double bottom line, where you can make money and do good at the same time. And I believe strongly that there's no opposition between those two goals.
Gideon Stein is a venture capitalist who has invested in several climate solution startups featured at the summit. Here's a few of his investments where climate action and capitalism work together. A highly nutritious version of duckweed that can be grown sustainably in a warehouse. Low-carbon cement. And flower pots made of compost, not plastic, that decompose in the soil.
We have to shoot in all directions. We have to make everything work. We need all of them to work and many other companies to work to beat this problem.
Stein began his career as an engineer and helped develop the first high-tech safety features that assist drivers, prevent a crash, or help cars stay in their lane. That's how he made his millions. And he takes his role as an impact investor seriously. He has a unique requirement of any startup he invests in.
I want a publication. So that's one of the things is I'm forcing them to publish. Make sure it's out there. And if the company wants to be stealth, just make an agreement that if it fails, the papers are there to go.
The majority of these startups will fail. But Stein says that's okay by him, as long as the research and knowledge can be used by someone else. After so much cheerleading on the climate tech front, I met someone who had a slightly different view.
Blast off. My name is Yosef Abramowitz.
Yosef Abramowitz calls himself Israel's climate pioneer. He helped bring solar power to the country, and now he runs a company doing the same thing in Africa.
It'd be great to have new technologies that can especially help us store energy and deliver it also to the neediest people as cheaply as possible. But baby, we just got to execute and implement and build. That's the solution.
He says the majority of climate investment should go toward things we already have: solar, wind, geothermal. And he worries that the focus on tech solutions leaves behind the people who contribute least to climate change, yet have the most to lose.
And the poorer the community, the less likely the titans of investing in tech are likely to go. And I think it should be reversed.
Abramowitz says it's unfettered capitalism that got us here. He says fossil fuels are and continue to be subsidized. Capitalism is fine, he says, but it needs guardrails and government incentives to push solutions forward.
Because we have to save the planet today. And, you know, that also takes some greed, and we bless that greed.
But he says you can get more climate bang for your buck while also doing anti-poverty work. Abramowitz has gotten funds from the Biden administration to develop solar fields in Africa to help eliminate the use of dirty diesel fuel.
We just plugged in a field in Burundi, the poorest country on the planet. We're doing 10% of the country's power. And if we can do it there, that means it can be done anywhere. South Sudan is next. You know, like, what's the excuse?
It's unclear what role capitalism can play here. Some say the climate crisis can only be solved by a new economic model that prioritizes sustainability and equity, not profits. But one thing is clear. When it comes to the climate tech startups, Africa will likely not be the next stop. The Israeli entrepreneurs look to the U.S. to sell their high-tech climate solutions. From WHYY's Climate Desk, I'm Susan Phillips.